Exodus 2, verse 1. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river bank, river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Heavenly Father, Lord, we need your help. Well, always, Lord, when we're dealing with the Word of God, thank you for sending us your Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being that tutor, that teacher. Lord, there's some things that you've prepared for the preacher to say, but I believe that there's other things that I won't say that you're going to communicate to each and every one that's here. Lord, thank you that as long as we have an open Bible and a tender heart, thank you, Lord, that you've got something to work with. So, Lord, accomplish in each of our lives what we need tonight, what we need to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. In the book of Hebrews, we read this verse: "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." You talk about a verse that just for a preacher outlines beautifully. They had the faith to bring him into this world. We talked about that last week. And then we covered this point, the faith to defy unlawful orders of an ungodly king. I hope it doesn't come to that place in America. I mean that. I don't want that. I don't wish for that. I do know that the spirit of Antichrist is increasing his activity. I know that what the book of the Revelation says. I don't know the timing on the Lord's coming. My vote is that he comes before we have to face a lot of persecution, but we have no promises of that. But I will say this, that Bible-believing Christians have always stood on the Word of God no matter what. No matter what. We call it the courage of our convictions. And folks, it's one thing to have convictions. It's another thing to have the courage of your convictions. Because that's when you find out whether or not they were really convictions in the first place. And there was some midwives that I think just stood out last week as shining examples to each and every one of us. Because no matter what arena of life you're in, sooner or later you're going to be faced with a decision where one of your convictions is going to be challenged. And I will tell you this, what you do on that day will define you, I think, before God and define you to yourself. And don't be afraid. Well, preacher, but if I do this, wait a minute. Stop worrying about the consequences. Stop. Is it right? Then do right. Is it wrong? Then don't participate in it. And you know what? God's well able to take care of all of the rest of it. But I saw this. I love that part of the story. The faith to defy unlawful orders to an ungodly king. Now, I want to cover the last two. Then we have these 2 points, the faith to protect him from the evil of this world. These are the faith of godly parents, the faith to protect him from the evil of this world, and the faith to see his great potential. And I hope what we cover tonight will be an encouragement. Young people, then we're going to transition to the end of this. I don't think get into it, won't have time to. But you know what, there's all the faith of godly parents, but there's also the faith of a young Moses, and you're going to see that. Even though the parents are stepping out by faith and they're doing the right things, there still had to come a day where he chose. He had to make a choice. He had to decide, would he spend his life in the comforts of Egypt, associating himself with the gods of Egypt, or would he return to the true and living God and stand with the people of God? And you know what? Your parents can do everything in the world for you and should do the very best they can. But you're still going to have to make that decision in your life. I pray that you'll make the decision of faith. And so we're going to finish up, hopefully, teaching on the parents about the parents tonight. The faith to protect them from the evil of this world. Where do you get that, preacher? Well, the Bible says that they hid. He was hid 3 months of his parents. Hid 3 months of his parents. And it says in verse number 2 of Exodus chapter 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. She hid him 3 months. There was an evil that was loose in Egypt. There was an evil leader. There was an evil law. Their child was at risk because of evil that was out there. And they had the faith to protect him from the evil of this world. I want to encourage each and every one of you parents tonight. I'm going to just kind of give you a little pep talk and a little encouragement. But you know what? You have a responsibility to protect your children from the evil of this world. You are the tip of the spear on that. You're the one that's going to stand and answer to God for what amount of worldliness and evil you allowed to touch their young life. Guard it, guard it, guard it. Every once in a while, I think a man just ought to walk through every room in his house and just look at everything with fresh eyes. I think mamas, come on, moms. I think every once in a while, you just ought to walk through the house and just look at everything with fresh eyes. Is there something that's come into this sanctity of our home that could be used of the devil to draw the hearts of our children away from God and into this world? Have we let too much Egypt stuff in our house? Too much Egypt stuff? And so that's something you have to decide between you and God. But I think if you'll be honest and you'll look, I will say this, the Holy Spirit's not shy about pointing out things to those that are tender-hearted. I want to say this to the parents. Be willing to hide them from the evil of this world. Now, you're going to hear all kinds of doomsdayers, and you're going to hear all these child-rearing experts, and you're going to have people criticize you for what you don't allow your kids to be involved in, what you make your kids be involved in. You're going to hear them say things like, oh, they're going to grow up one of these days and hate your guts. I mean, if you raise them like that, you don't let them do some of the stuff, they're going to get up one of these days and just go hog wild. I mean, you know what? They're going to say anything and everything to try to keep you from drawing proper lines and boundaries in your home. But dads, don't listen to all of that nonsense. Moms, don't listen to all of that nonsense. If it's right, then it's right. And if it's wrong, then it's wrong. And don't compromise from that. Hide your children from the things that the devil will use that could destroy them. And sometimes I just need to affirm some things. And I think, you know, have you ever as a parent just say to yourself, you know, are we crazy? Are we crazy or is the world crazy? Let me just say some things that will help you. Because every once in a while someone needs to come behind some young parents and just say, hey, you're doing the right thing. Watch this. Let me say some things. Your house is not a democracy, nor should it be. Okay? So just get that thinking out of your mind, all right? I don't know who invented the family meetings where everybody votes on everything, but it wasn't God that invented it. You can't find it in the King James Holy Bible. So you know what? Your house isn't a democracy, all right? You are right to have rules in your home and to enforce them, okay? You don't want to raise your children where every man does what is right in his own eyes. There should be clear lines, clear boundaries. These things are allowed and these things are not allowed. And then stay consistent in the enforcement of those rules. You're right to have rules. Rules build security in a young person. And you know what? Boundaries build security in a young person. I'll tell you, the kids that are insecure are not the kids that have boundaries, consistent boundaries. They're the kids where the boundaries are always moving all the time. And they just don't know from one day to the other what's right, what's wrong, what's going to be acceptable, what's not going to be acceptable. Sit down, decide some things. And draw the boundaries, okay? And then communicate that very clearly to your children, and then stand where you stand, okay? Because if your kids hear you say, this is the rule, And then 2 months later, they're breaking that rule and nothing's being done about it. They're pretty soon not going to believe anything that you say. If it's right, then enforce it. If you have a rule, then enforce it. I've said before to our school staff, I've said, you know what? If we're not going to enforce a rule that's in the handbook, then I want it out of the handbook. We're either going to enforce it or we're getting rid of it, but we don't ignore rules. Why? Why is that? Why do you say that? Because these are the things that help children to know where the boundaries are, okay? You're right to build in to your children's lives transparency and accountability, okay? Well, you're in my stuff. While they're living under your roof, they don't have stuff. That's all your stuff. Well, you came in my room. I never had any of my children make a mortgage payment on my house, so I don't know what they're talking about my room. All those rooms are my room. Are you listening to me? Transparency and accountability. You know, folks, listen, I'm going to just kind of blow a little bit of trumpet here. There's a reason they call it a bedroom. You know why? Because that's where you go to bed. That's not where you go to hide. If I was building a new house, Brother Reiser, I'll just tell you, I was helping him with his house. I went down there and helped him the day he framed his house. Man, we started early and we got that thing framed, the interior walls, in a day's time. And I went down, a couple other guys, and we just worked hard. And I even questioned him because I said, you know, are you sure? You sure these bedrooms are big enough? He said, they're big enough to sleep in. Now, they're not closet spaces, but I'm going to tell you, one of the biggest mistakes we're making is we don't have homes. What we have is many apartments. And you know what? This is you walk in some of these kids' rooms, and you know what? They've got their own entertainment center. They've got their own Game Boys. They've got their own refrigerators. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. They've got their own, they literally, every once in a while, wander out of their little private apartment and come through and grunt at mom and dad to raid the refrigerator and then wander back in. That's not a way to raise children, okay? Bedrooms are for going to bed. Bedrooms are for a place to go and dress in privacy. You know what? All the other time, you need to be with the family. You need to be with the family, okay? That's called transparency. It's called accountability, okay? You have a right to limit their access to technology. I mean, we're getting to the point where I'm wondering if they're going to pass a law declaring it's child abuse if a child doesn't have a cell phone by the time they're, 7 years old. It's crazy to me what parents are doing in handing technology to children, handing technology and you know, what we've got this on it, we've got that on it. Yeah, and those kids are smarter on that phone than you are. Okay, they're smarter on that phone than you are. Now listen, folks, if I said this tonight, I said, you know what, I just want you parents to put your kid in the nursery to know that I bought a box of new toys for the nursery, and I dumped them on the floor out there. They're going to be excited to play with them. Say, preacher, what is it? Oh, it was a box of grenades. But don't worry, they've all got pins in them. Every one of them's got a pin in them. So, yeah, there's a safety deal on that where, you know, hey, they play with that pin long enough, play with that grenade long enough, they're going to pull that pin. I'm saying, folks, is use wisdom. I'm not saying that there's not an age where you can introduce this to your young people, but I think that you need to do it very carefully. Matter of fact, I'd rather, and I don't want to undermine, if your parents draw a line different than what I'm going to say, they're 100% right, and that's your parent. I do think sometimes, I've been talking to preachers about this, and I do think sometimes that while the child is still in the home, before they leave to go to Bible college, they leave to go to, that it's not a bad idea for a short amount of time for them to have a cell phone, because I'm going to tell you something. A kid that just walks out with total freedom and the first time in their life goes and buys a smartphone, I mean, I'm going to tell you, it's just overwhelming the amount of temptation, the amount of doors it opens. And I've watched a lot of kids get in a lot of trouble just because it was too much. And I think sometimes to have the accountability built in to be able to be trained and to be able to be have it watched and the transparency of it. You know, someone said, well, I got a kid that's got a driver's license now, and I'm a little afraid about him being on the road, you know, somewhere, especially maybe it's a daughter, you know, and you're a little afraid of being on the road somewhere. So, you know, can I get her, should I get her a cell phone or something like that? And I did with our daughters. We had an extra cell phone, and if they were going somewhere, they picked it up off the kitchen counter and took it on the trip with them. And when they came back, it went, you know, I love this where they use the argument. Well, you know, what if, Dad, what if I'm out there somewhere and the car breaks down and, you know, there's a truckload of Latin King gangsters that come by and you're going to have to live with that, Dad, the rest of your life. I mean, I'll only use it in an emergency. And you know what? That lasts about a week. And then pretty soon, next thing you know, you see this kid popping up everywhere on social media. And I think, again, young people, listen to me. We're going to talk to you in next week. Because, you know what, parents are doing the best they can, and they're going to try to teach you and educate you and protect you from the evil. But Moses still had to make some choices. And there's a day when Moses is coming of age. And there's a day you're going to come of age. And there's going to be a day when you're going to have to make some hard choices. Now, listen to your parents, okay? Listen to them. The young people get in trouble are the ones that, about the time they hit 17, 18, 19, spend more time listening to, you know, people that aren't even in church anymore than they do mom and dad. Listen, 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 listen to your preacher. I'm not overreacting. Okay, I've had a front row seat. I can't tell you which preacher. I can't tell you what. I can't tell you much of anything except to say this. I just talked to a pastor a month ago, called me and literally almost hysterical. And two young men in his church. I mean, I've been to this church. I've preached in this church. I know these young men. I know the families, good families. Two young men that nobody had a clue about. Nobody knew anything about as far as what they were doing on their computers and on their cell phones. But they had begun to talk to somebody on their computers and their cell phones. And these young men, one of them was lured away, left his home in the middle of the night, drove two states away, and ended up in a motel room with a pervert. And you talk about mom and dad going crazy, and nobody knows where this kid is. And all of a sudden, they get on his computer, and they start handing it to people to know what to look for, and there are some of the most ghastly, ungodly things. Young people, listen to me. We're going to build as high a fence as we can. And we're going to warn you, and this preacher's going to preach till I don't have a voice left. But you've got to start using sense. You are not smarter than the devil. Okay? And while I can play with this and play with this, I know the devil always says this. You know what? You're in control until you're not. Until all of a sudden it's controlling you. What I'm saying is this, don't be resistant. Don't be secretive. Don't be sneaky in this area of your life. You know, you ought to encourage transparency in the relationship with mom and dad. You ought to be all for it. Come on, there may be a handful of you in here. Y'all listen to what I'm going to say next. If you're still living in your mom and dad's house and that thing's got out of control, tonight, you ought to take that device, walk over and hand it to your mom and dad and say, mom and dad, I'm going to ruin my life with this. So I just need you to take it for a while. And I need to detox for a while. You know what? That's 1,000 times better than one of these days somebody telling a story like I just told, only it's you. It's you. And so what, folks, there's a level of evil out there that I'm going to tell you something. I don't even know all about it because I try to stay simple concerning evil. You know, as the shepherd of the flock, I've got to know some things and I've got to research some things, but I'll only go so deep into things. You know, I was down talking to John Russ. I've told you this before, I think, but I mean, there's things that I'm sure there's so many things I don't know. John Russ, you know, my nephew, Big John's down there, youth pastor for Pastor Allison, just doing a great job down there, him and his wife. Boy, they got that new baby boy. I'm telling you what, I'm so sick and tired of them sending me pictures of that kid. Come on, he don't change that much in 24 hours. Stop it already now. They love that little boy, and I love getting every picture. But I was talking to him a couple years ago, went down there and preached, and I walked out the parking lot, and he said, man, I'm dealing with something in my youth group. He said, you know, listen to how diabolical and sneaky the devil is. What are you talking about? I'm talking about your parents are trying to keep you from evil, but you got to help them keep you from evil. Okay? He said, you got a cell phone? I said, yeah. He said, let me see it. He said, you got a calculator on there? I said, everybody's got a calculator on their phone. He said, well, pull it up. And I just pulled it up. And he said, you know what? There was a kid that had a phone, and he had a same thing you have on there. And everybody thought it was a calculator, only guess what? It wasn't a calculator. Now, when you pull it up, you can work it as a calculator. It'll sit there and add and subtract, multiply and divide. There's no way in the world you wouldn't know it was anything but a calculator. But you set a password. You see, folks, listen to me. Who in the world would create something like this? Unless it's for to hide evil. But he said that you can program your calculator so that you punch in a series of numbers, and all of a sudden it's not a calculator. It's an app that hides hidden files for you. And I'm telling you, folks, that that's been out for 2-3 years. Now, if that's been out and that's available, I promise you there's a bunch of other stuff I don't know about. But a lot of these young people that's into this stuff know about it. Okay? Now, listen to me. Preacher, I'm smarter than my mom and dad. And I know how to do this and I know how to hide this. Listen to me. You're not smarter than the devil. And you're not very smart or you wouldn't be talking like that. I said a minute ago what I said, and I feel impressed to say it again. Some of you, I don't care if you're in your 20s. If you're losing with that thing, you ought to walk over and hand it to mom and dad and say, I need to be away from this for a while. Well, how would I live without my cell phone? I don't know. How in the world did me and Brother Tom make it through adolescence in our 20s and 30s without a cell phone? Happier, I think. I think we are happier, you know. So that's just one. And listen, what I'm talking about is one small little front where the devil is bringing evil and trying to destroy. And I promise you, folks, we try to run over and we try to shore that area up. And it seems like there's 100 other fronts where evil is invading into our homes and getting into our homes. Moms and dads, listen to me. You cannot let your guard down. You know what they did? They hid this boy for 3 months. You know why? Because there was an evil that wanted to destroy that young man. I've lingered a little long there, but boy, I felt impressed too. You're right to biblically spank your children for acts of foolish defiance. You're right to do it. You're wrong not to do it. You're not smarter than the Bible. Oh, but I read this article and I know this psychology trick that's going to do the same thing. Well, too bad God didn't know about that. Why don't you spend some time praying? Only don't pray. Just teach God how to be smart like you. Or you could read the Bible and believe it. Okay? You are right to use parental veto power in the selection of their friends. I'm talking about walking guard around your family, okay? You and not the government have the final say as to how your children will be reared, educated, and what direction they will take in life. You say, well, that's a no-brainer. Oh, the government don't think it's a no-brainer. We're going to be fighting some things. I promise you, I'm looking at battle fronts coming in 2021 when it comes to our Christian school that I've never had to, I'm getting the letters in the mail, battle fronts that I'm going to have to stand and fight to protect our Christian school from godless influences, and it's the government of the United States that's trying to do these things to us. Okay? I mean, folks, the sodomites are already lining up. They're literally counting the days till Biden's in office. They've already got their agenda and they're always already publishing their agenda. They want to close down every Christian school in America, every single charter school that will not teach in their curriculum an acceptance of the sodomite lifestyle. And you know, I'm going to tell you, we used to read that story about Lot, you know, and here comes these sodomites and they're banging on his door and demanding him to open it. And we think, oh boy, could never, they're getting ready to come to the door. And then we're going to have to fight some battle. But let me tell you something, parents, your preacher's ready to fight some battles. I'm not giving on this stuff. We're not folding on this stuff. One of the reasons that I've been insistent, my dad was insistent. Let me tell you something, the 42-year history of Blessed Hope Baptist School, we've never taken one penny of government funds for any reason. I mean, through the history, there's been of our school, there's been times when it has been offered and it would have been easy to take, which seemingly no strings attached. You know what my answer has been across the board? No, never. Because they don't ever give you anything for free. There's always strings attached to it. And so, you know what? We've not bothered them, and we don't want them bothering us. Excuse me very much. It's called freedom. Freedom. That's what it's called. Okay? You have not only a right, but a biblical obligation to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What that means is that the Bible should dictate their belief system, their sense of right and wrong, and their values in life. Well, I'm thinking about Moses' parents. Can you imagine those 3 months, hiding them, that baby for 3 months? Come on, moms. Dads, can you imagine, Brother Young, if all of a sudden you had to keep two kids quiet for 3 months? Because you know what, folks? It wasn't just Israelis living in this city by themselves. There was a mixture of Egyptians too. You know what? They knew what the rule was. They knew what the law was. How did they hide them? I don't know. Can you imagine how long one night must have been? You know how many, if that baby caught a little bit of a fever or just had a sour stomach and just, she had to, can you imagine the fear of that mother for 3 months? Trying to keep that baby quiet, trying to keep that baby a secret, trying to keep people from finding out, trying to figure out how to answer the questions of nosy neighbors. She hid that baby for 3 months. It was stressful. Say, preacher, man alive, just trying to keep the devil away from my kids, stressful sometimes. I know, but deal with the stress and just do it. Don't give in. Don't give in. I was thinking about that. Something happened. I don't know what it was. But the Bible says that there came a point in time where she could no longer hide him. What happened, preacher? I don't know. I don't know. Some neighbor ratted him out. Come on. We're going to see some of that. We're already being pre-programmed to do that. Complete strangers feel like they have a right to walk up to me and tell me what I should or shouldn't do out in public. Complete strangers think they have a right to drive by and take pictures and send them to the authorities and say, they're not doing this, they're not doing that. You don't think that's not going to get worse? Okay, but you know what? I don't know what happened. I know maybe an Egyptian family found out about it. Maybe an Israeli family, compromisers found out about it. Who knows? I don't know. But all of a sudden, the Bible says there came a point where mom and dad had done everything they could do to protect their child. This is what I want to make this point of encouragement to you parents. Because we're going to about see the providence of God step in. Whew. This is a good story right here. And I want you to understand there is the providence of God. And you know what? Moses' mom and dad did everything they could to hide this child for as long as possible. And parents, you're going to do everything you can to walk guard around your children. But there's going to come a day where you can't hide them from everything. There's going to come a day where you're just going to need God to do something you can't do, to perform a miracle. This is called the providence of God. And so, you know what she did? Can you see that mama going down there and cutting those reeds off the side of the river and going in and weaving that basket? Can you see her as she pitches it on the ends, on the outside to waterproof it? Think about this. I mean, you wouldn't do this if someone wasn't coming to your house. Come on, am I wrong? Come on, moms, what would it take for you to take a three-month-old baby and put them in a little ark of bulrushes and leave them in the river? I mean, somebody had come and said, hey, the word's out. They know. They're coming tomorrow. Think about that. Something did it. Something triggered it. It says in the Bible, when she could no longer hide it, something happened. I don't know what happened. Do you think about that? She built that ark of bulrushes. She's dabbed it with slime and pitch. Can you imagine? The prayers. Can you imagine her walking down that river and putting that little baby in that ark? The Bible says that she placed him in the flags by the river. That sounds like a mom. I mean, she's not just going to turn it out in part of the river where the water's rushing. She didn't want it swept downstream. All I know is I got to do the best I can to hide him the best I can. Imagine the prayer. As she left that little child there, can you imagine her knee prints in the mud? Now listen, parents, I'm going to help you with something. There's going to be a line somewhere where you've done everything you can for that child. And all that's left is leaving your knee prints in the mud. All that's left is saying, God, all I can do is turn them over to you. That's all I can do. And that's what they did. I love this. I want to give the brothers and sisters a little pep talk. I love that Miriam was left to watch over her little brother. I want to say something to every older brother and every older sister in here. You ought to be just as concerned about your younger brothers and sisters turning out for the Lord as your mom and dad are. And you ought to be a help and encouragement to do everything you can to guard them just as hard as your mom and dad guard them. Okay, tell me you're not that older brother or sister that's being used of the devil to help destroy your younger brother and sister. Don't tell me you're that person. Man alive, you ought to love them. You ought to protect them. You ought to guard them. Listen, you shouldn't be introducing them to evil. You ought to be guarding them from evil. I couldn't help but think about, hey, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Everything's in there for a reason. You know, why didn't mom stay? Why didn't daddy stay? Well, maybe they thought it'd be a little too obvious who the child belonged to. But some little girl just down there playing by the river, maybe that wouldn't be as noticeable. But you know what? Miriam had a big part in all of this. Then I talked about the providence of God. You see this? She did all she could for as long as she could. Mama did. Mama's done everything she can. Dad's done everything. Then she had to turn him over to the divine providence of God. I got to thinking about that day that she left him there. And then, you know, Miriam's over there watching. And, you know, I think about Pharaoh's daughter heading down to wash herself that day. That day, that particular day, the providence of God. You say, what a coincidence. There's no coincidence when it comes to the Lord. You know how many things could have come up in Pharaoh's house that day that would have delayed that? You know how many things could have happened in her personal life? Just, oh, well, you know what? We'll just have to do it tomorrow. And I didn't know this was going to happen. You know that God works even through people that are not Christians to perform his will? Think about that. Think about the other Egyptians that must have been in that area. I mean, you know, what's the chances of somebody coming by before Pharaoh's daughter showed up? We're talking about the divine providence and protection of God. Hey, parents, I want to encourage you. Do everything you can. I've told you. I feel like I've admonished you to walk guard and to do everything within your power. But there's going to be a point in time where God has to take over. And some things you have to win on your knees. And can you imagine such a thing? All the things that could have happened. What if that, I thought about when the Pharaoh's daughter spotted that little ark and sent one of her maidens out there. And the Bible says that when they uncovered the baby, he began to cry. I'm not sure an angel didn't pinch that little baby about that time. What if that baby didn't cry at that exact moment? And that crying child, you know what it did? It touched the heart of Pharaoh's daughter. Hey, Pharaoh's daughter knew what the law was. I'm going to give you something good here. Watch this. I'm going to give you something good. The way God's providence works is amazing. Her daddy is Pharaoh. Her daddy's the one that passed the law that this baby's supposed to be drowned. And God uses an evil man's daughter, touches her heart with compassion. She adopts a little Hebrew boy who is going to grow up and become the deliverer of the people that Pharaoh passed that law to prevent from happening. And God says, well, watch this.
Woo!
Folks, you know what? There's a lot of things that happen that I don't understand. I'm sure at that moment when Miriam's watching this, she's holding her breath. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. This little girl's pretty clever. I don't think they practiced this scenario. This is a clever, smart, good. I'm going to tell you this. God gave her wisdom in that moment. Because she's watching all this happen. And she sees the look on that woman's face. And she sees him pick him up out of that. And about that time, she pops her head up. Hey, you mind if I, do you need some help with that? You want me to get one of the Hebrew ladies to come and care for this child, feed this child for you? And she's like, go. Now, this is the cool part. Come on, moms, think about this. She got paid for it. She got paid. You talk about God turning everything around. Man alive, don't you wish you got paid for raising those little monsters? Come on. She got paid. I don't know what Pharaoh's daughter's nanny makes, but I imagine it's pretty good. Now, I'm going to give you another thought. She gave her this instruction. You said, you go nurse the child. You take care of this child. And when he's weaned, you bring him to me. Now, boy, I want to give something to the parents right now. Here's another thing I thought about. Lord, help me think about it. I think revealed it to me. By the way, when you read the stories, put yourself in the people's positions. See it through their eyes. Feel what they're feeling. I think so much of the Bible is lost because we treat these like these are fairy tales. These are real people. These are real stories. These things really happen. Now, hey, God's done a miracle. And you get to take your baby home. But you're only going to have that baby. Now, listen to this. And I've read and researched, and I think you'll know why I'm being careful. But I think that it seems like about 3 years she would have had Moses in her home. Moms, dads, listen to me. I think you ought to take those first 3 years of your child's life and you ought to treat them as if you were going to have to give them away after three. And you were going to have to give them away to Egyptians. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know all that mama did, but she put some things so strong in that boy's heart by the time he was 3 to 4 years of age that he still carried a sense of who he really was into adulthood. And I couldn't help but think that thought. What if we said, okay, well, let's raise it a little bit. By the way, after you spend the first 3 to 4 years pouring everything into them you possibly can with the idea, well, no one came and got them, then pretend they're going to take them at 5. And then pretend they're going to take them at 6. And pretend they're going to say, preacher, do you sense it's going to get that bad? I'm not talking about it getting that bad. I'm talking about taking child rearing seriously. Putting within your children the principles and precepts of the Word of God. Giving them a sense of who they are and who their family is. A strong connection to your God, who you pray will one day become their God. I don't know all that was done. I don't think it was just mama. Imagine Moses' dad coming home and hearing this story and, oh my goodness, God did a miracle. And then he looks at his son. Come on, man. How fast those first 3 years go, gentlemen? Well, you don't understand. There's a certain time and then, you know, that's hers. And then I'll eventually get off that stuff. You get involved from the beginning. You get involved from the beginning. I mean this. I'm going to call out some of you young parent men that, you know, you think all this baby stuff and stuff is just for mama, and you fake like you're sick so you don't have to do certain things because you can't handle it. You need to be involved. Okay. I mean, that's 3 years. And yet you watch Moses grow up, and when he has such a strong
connection to God's people. I wonder how many times in 3 years. Can you imagine a little, her taking that little boy's chubby, fat cheeks? He's 2 years old and mama's tears coming down. Say, son, listen to me. There's a God in heaven. And he's the creator of the universe. And somebody one of these days is going to try to tell you that there's all kinds of gods, but they're going to lie to you because there's only one true God. How many gods are there? One. Say it again. How many gods are there? One. How many, son? One, mama? You put that in your heart. You believe it. Isn't this good, man? Wow. I can't wait to meet these parents. Oh, well, we take them to church, and I'm sure they get something out of Sunday school. We've done our job. It's not the church's responsibility to put God in your kid's heart. Now, we're just here to assist. But we're not the tip of the spear. We're not the ones going to stand in the front of the line giving an account on whether or not your kids have been taught what they ought to have been taught. Take it serious. Take it serious, amen. And I thought about all these things. Man alive. What possessed Miriam to think of such a shrewd plan that would reunite mother and child? How appropriate that the evil that was planned was turned against the one who planned it. Think about this. Later on, he was educated in the ways of Egypt. Now think about this, folks. Even in this, you say, preacher, but he was taken away and he was educated in the ways of Egypt. You know that I would be against this, but do you understand God's greater plan? He's going to have to walk back into Egypt as an adult one of these days. Don't you think it was to his advantage to understand the ways of Pharaoh's house? To have stood there as a young man, you know, hundreds of times and watched Pharaoh do business in his courts. I'm just saying God was preparing him in a unique way for what he was going to have him to do. Think about that. He understood the ways of Egypt. He's familiar with the courts of Egypt. He understood the customs of Egypt. And by the way, it was all at Pharaoh's expense on Pharaoh's dime. He was raising up and training a man who would so understand the Egyptians that he would be able to walk in there. You know, I've thought a lot of times. I'll just tell you what I thought. I thought about it before this, but it kind of came to my mind again. You know, there's so many times while I'm watching Moses come back into Pharaoh's court later on. I mean, he went in, folks. There's 10 plagues. And you know the power that Pharaoh had in Egypt. I mean, why after 3 or 4 plagues doesn't he just say, hey, somebody grab him and cut his head off? And I really don't have an answer to that. But I wonder if it's because Moses understood the customs. He understood what could be allowed and what would not be allowed. I'm not diminishing the protecting hand of God. I'm just saying I think a lot of things went into preparing to deliver for Israel. Think of that. I'll finish with this thought. We'll be done. The last thing that it says here is that not only was he born and hid 3 months of his parents, it says in Hebrews, because they saw he was a proper child. I'm just going to give you this to think about. But you know what? When Moses' parents held that baby boy and they knew what the law was and they knew what they were supposed to do with him. And that word, he was a goodly child, proper child. The other portion of Scripture says a goodly child. If you look up those words, you know what? It means this. He was a healthy, beautiful baby boy. I don't think that Moses' parents, if he'd have been a sickly child, would have said, well, he's not very good. Let's toss him in the Nile River. But they saw that God had blessed them with a healthy, robust baby boy. And Mama held him and said, I know what Pharaoh said. Watch this. But she began to do what every mother in this room's done before. And gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something. We do it too, but we don't do it like Mama does it. There's a connection between a mother and a child that none of us men will ever understand. And I think for a mama, looking at that baby, she wasn't just seeing a baby. Watch this. She wasn't just seeing what he was. or who he was. She was seeing what he could one day be. And parents, long before your children learn how to dream for themselves, somebody's got to dream for them. And long before these children get to the point where they begin to believe in themselves, that God could use them, somebody's got to believe that for them. And I'm just going to expand it outside of moms and dad. If there's ever a church that needs to convey regularly to our young people that we believe in them, it's Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Come on, don't get into the trap of always seeing these kids for just who they are. You've got to be able to see them for who they could one day be. And they had no idea that they were holding in their hand the man who 80 years later, I'm sure they weren't around to see it, but 80 years later would walk back into Egypt, walk into Pharaoh's court, look Pharaoh in the eyeball and say, "Let my people go. Let my people go." I don't know if that's exactly what Mama saw, but she saw something. This kid is worth fighting for. This kid is worth defying the greatest power in existence at this time. This child is worth walking guard over. And God, when I've done everything I can do and I don't know what else to do, they're worth building an ark and putting them in it and putting them in the reeds and trusting you to do what I can't do. And I think God saw that kind of faith and said, "Wow, I think I'm just going to spare that boy and raise him up." And folks, outside of the name of Jesus, I'm going to tell you my opinion, I'm done. I don't know if there's a more recognizable name, a greater name in all of the Bible outside of Jesus Christ than Moses. I don't know. And I don't know if Mom and Dad saw all that. But they looked at that kid and said, "Listen, I'm done. This kid's worth fighting for. This kid's worth raising right." You do not know, parents, who you might have in your home right now. You don't know. Come on, grandparents. We don't know what those little babies might grow up and be. But boy, they need an army of people around them, pointing them in the right direction, praying for them, reminding them, get a hold of those little fat cheeks every once in a while. Talk to them serious. Talk to them serious about who God is. How much God loves them and the plan God has for their life. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith of Moses' parents. Thank you for a big sister who just hid over in the reeds to keep an eye on a little baby brother. Thank you for your divine hand and divine providence. Thank you for the story of Moses. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd bless our parents. We've got good parents doing a good job in this church. I pray that tonight was an encouragement for them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to do what's hard to do in this day and age, difficult to do in this day and age, but possible to do. And that's raise their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do great things, God, with the young people, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We pray these things in Jesus' name.